Hello, and welcome to the Campaign Podcast. In this episode, we will be talking you through some of the top news of the week with media editor Bo Jackson. Hi, Bo.
Hi, Lucy.
Work and inspiration editor Imogen Watson. Hello, Imogen.
Hi.
And me, your host, the new tech editor at Campaign, Lucy Shelley. Hello. So it's been an incredibly busy last 7 days with a huge amount of breaking news, especially in the pitching and new business arena. So in this episode, we are going to give you the views from our news desks on three big account reviews: Pringles, Co-op and Sainsbury's, and some very recent news on Molson Coors, plus a dive into whether we're experiencing a pitch palooza, as well as Sheffield City Council's decision to ban fossil fuel ads on billboards. So we've got an awful lot to get through in the next 20 minutes. So let's begin. Imogen.
Hi.
What's been getting your attention the most in the pitch space this week?
So the big news was Pringles' global account is up for review. Gray hasn't confirmed whether they'll repitch for the business, but they've worked with the Kellanova snack brand for 27 years. So it's quite a long time. It's quite a big relationship. This isn't the first time they've had a review. They had a review back in 2013. And that was when Kellogg's, when I say Kellanova, Kellanova's the US and global name for Kellogg's over here.
Just to make it even more complicated.
Yeah, I'd never actually heard of it before this story. When they bought that from P&G and they pitched against Leo Burnett's Chicago office, which the executives described as an uphill fight. So it'll be interesting to know whether, one, if Gray is going to repitch for the account, and two, whether Leo Burnett will have a go for it, because they obviously have Kellogg's over here and Kellogg's globally. So it might be another Leo's Gray fight, uphill fight again.
It's an interesting time as well, considering the wonderfully different campaign was among campaign's top film ads of 2023.
Yeah, we love that. It was, I think about that and I smile. It was, wonderfully different for the multigrain brand. And I don't know, I just love really quirky, weird ads. And all it was, the simplicity of it was the fact that this hamster is like singing and dancing, but the beauty in it is the fact, and it's Jeff Lowe that's behind it, the director, which explains a lot. But the beauty of it is that the hamster doesn't sing, it screeches. And it's just so simple. But every time you're like, brilliant. And the restraint to it, they didn't sort of add to it. It was just totally restrained. So they have been producing some really good work. And the billboards from that campaign as well were really, really quite cool. They were like hamster size. So, yeah, be interesting to know how this goes on.
I love an ad that just, it seems so simple. They didn't really try to over embellish it. They just thought, what's it going to be? Okay, a hamster performing. Boom, let's go with it.
Yeah, don't make him sing, make him screech.
And any other news? I know Co-op have had some interesting news.
So Co-op, they've appointed VCCCP. That's one too many C's, isn't it? They've appointed VCCCP. VCCP, here we go, it's Monday morning, to handle a one-off project, which is quite interesting because we understood that essentially Co-op was working with Lucky Generals as a retained account, which they won in 2018. We understood that there was a pitch ongoing for the whole account. This is just the project. There is another pitch going on. There's a total review for the account, but we don't know any further details on when that's going to be resolved, when that's going on, how this will really impact the final review. So yeah, we understand that VCCP, well done Imogen, has taken over from Lucky Generals, but it could just be the sense that it's just a project for now.
It seems like it could be a bit of a trial run for VCCP if they are repitching. I don't know if we know if they are or not.
We don't know whether that's confirmed, but I'm assuming if they're going for the project, I don't want to put words in their mouths, but I would assume that they're doing that. It means they'll might produce some very, very good work.
Yeah, pressure's on. They want to make it,
People love a supermarket account. Like, it's all very coveted. So, I'm sure they'll be putting out their best people to that.
And Bo, before we finish the review roundup that we're doing, Sainsbury's, you've been all over that. What's been going on there?
Yeah, so we've heard that the Sainsbury's media buying and planning account is up for review, and it's a closed pitch in which Essence MediaCom X and PhD have been invited to pitch for it, as they're both the incumbents on two separate parts of the account. So PhD has like the majority of it, but Essence MediaCom X has the digital, which it won from PhD in 2020. But there was a little bit of drama last time, so...
Ooh. Mm. Can you take us through the drama? Why the so dramatic? Give us the goss.
So, so the last time it was up for review was in 2017, and it was the whole business. So, because there's, you've got Sainsbury's Group, which is Argos, Habitat, etc., and also Sainsbury's Bank. But the current review is for everything other than Sainsbury's Bank. And at the time in 2017, there were different parts of the business with different agencies. But PhD has like a very long lasting relationship with it. They've, as of now, they've almost held Sainsbury's for almost 30 years.
It's a bit like Pringles.
Yeah.
Long term relationships.
But we're coming to a close. Yeah.
But what happened at the time is that, Mindshare was the incumbent on the Argos part of the business in 2017. And so there was a bit of a conflict because Mindshare also works with Marks and Spencer, which is still true. And what happened then is that Sainsbury's initially went for M6 and they won the account in the February of 2017. But then PhD came back with a counteroffer, an extremely competitive counteroffer, and snatched it back from them. So it's an account that PhD historically has not wanted to give up and fought really hard for. So maybe we'll see more of that this year. But as a closed pitch, obviously, it's maybe slightly different. But interesting that it's between Essence MediaCom X and PhD, I think.
Well, it sounds like a really intense pitch process because obviously, so PhD had the account and then the digital part of it was given to Essence MediaCom
in 2020,
And now they're going against each other.
So now, it's for the Sainsbury's are consolidating it all. They want it all just with one partner, which makes sense, you know, tidying up those loose ends. But we'll be watching and excited to see what comes out of that.
Yeah, 100%. Are we allowed to cast our bets?
No.
And to wrap up the review roundup of this part of the podcast, some huge news which we broke yesterday morning, as this is coming out on the Tuesday.
So you 25th broke it of March.
Monday, the 25th of March, exactly.
At 10 a.m.
At 10 a.m., exactly, if anyone wants to just backdate that. But Molson Coors have picked a creative agency. Imogen, you're ming away. Do you want to take us through it?
So, it's been won by Ogilvy, who Molson Coors is the brewer behind Carling, Foster's and Peroni. So it's quite a big account from everyone I've talked to involved in it. So it was Ogilvy versus Mother and BBH. It sounded like quite a fun pitch. I feel like... everyone was really enjoying it. So it's quite a big one to win. I think after Ogilvy had lost Vodafone, it'll make that blow a bit softer with the knowledge that, as I say, it's quite a big account. So, yeah.
It's a huge one. It's one that we've definitely been following, you know, for some time. People have been waiting to hear who's won. So that is huge news for Ogilvy. Mm-hmm. So congratulations to that team. And we've only covered four of some of the wins and the reviews that have happened over the last, over the last couple of months. This has been the last 7 days.
Yeah.
So we're going to give you...
We haven't slept.
I know, yeah. We've been working very hard. So we're going to give you a quick roundup of the other ones before we move on. So, yes, we've heard from Co-op, Sainsbury's, Molson Coors and...
I was going to say Sainsbury's again. Sorry.
Pringles.
But that was my one, sorry.
That's all right. But Oatly have also hired a global media partner. Tourism Ireland reviewed their global creative account. And Kenview, the consumer arm of the healthcare giant Johnson & Johnson, has also launched a global creative review, all of which you can catch on the campaign website. So this begs the question, Bo, are we seeing a new business Pitchpalooza, which was a phenomenon noted by the UK editor-in-chief, Gideon Spanier, after the pandemic? So why do you think this has happened? Bo, you spoke to Adland and asked them the question. How did the investigation into this begin?
Yeah, so, I mean, anecdotally, it's something that I've been hearing a little bit from my media contacts since the start of the year. A few people have described the beginning of 2024 as a pitch palooza to me. And
Quite
weird, isn't it? Yeah, pitch palooza just sounds fantastic.
I know, but, I googled the definition.
Sounds ever so fun.
It's a festival,
what
apparently.
What a party, yeah. What a party. Adlan does love a party. So, but what when it actually became a bit more substantiated was after WPP's 2023 full year results, and Mark Reed, chief executive, said the new business pipeline is significantly higher than last year, and the group's forecasting up to 1% annual revenue growth for 2024. So we use that as the jump off point to start asking agencies, both media and creative, if that's also something that they were seeing. And broadly, there is optimism. I mean, we're still at the beginning of the year, but people have been optimistic, but maybe a bit more cautiously so.
I think we've heard that a lot this year, cautiously,
cautiously optimistic. Don't want to speak too soon. But yeah, we've had that. Interestingly, from the responses too, we also had a bit of a pattern form. We had Anushka Clark, managing partner of the Seven Stars, say that one of the things that they have seen in this first quarter so far is that they've had more conversations around media and creative coming back together. And they've seen it in joint pitches, but they're also working with clients more in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be interesting to see.
I mean, it's one of those things where you wonder why it ever went apart.
Yeah.
They're mutually so good for each other.
I don't know if it's always...
I keep talking in this podcast like they were all in relationships with each other. But,
why
know.
Break up?
Yeah, they were so good for each other.
It seems like, I don't know, I wonder if it's one of those things that's always going to be in flux, that they go apart because like they can make money in certain ways and then they come back together because it's like so many people have said, and I'm sure they say it to you too, Imogen, the best campaigns are where you've got both working really well together.
Yeah.
100%. Well, I mean, before campaign, I was on performance marketing world, and, you know, it's the kind of, like I said, the more direct side of the marketing conversations that we have. And it's always been that discussion about, you know, how do you split it? How do you work together? And it will always depend on, you know, context, the brand you are, the sector you're in.
Mm.
But it's nice to hear kind of an overall trend of them coming together, because as we all know, if everyone works together, and they can work better for each other.
Mm, we really enjoyed the B&Q.
Yeah, that was great.
Uncommon and Dentsu X. They basically on Saturday Night Takeaway with Ant and Dec, they launched the new ad, which was also brilliant, which kind of pushed forward the You Can Do It tagline.
Bringing it on back. Love
but
that.
They, throughout the program, they had, like, they were creating the ident throughout.
Yeah.
And it kind of went very much in line with the strategy, which was, you know, you can build things yourself and trying to build confidence in people to do DIY. Mm-hmm. And then it ended at the end with the actual ad itself. So, yeah, and also I'm a big fan of TV, live TV, so it's cool to see people really still put love into that.
I thought another interesting point from Anushka Clark, managing partner at Seven Stars, was she said that we, with global advertising spend set to top over $1 trillion this year, and, you know, and then people are going to be reviewing their media agency partners, it does raise the question of whether UK-only advertisers will get the focus and attention needed from their network agency as a result. So I think all these new business changes could have quite a dramatic effect on the industry in that way, which is quite extreme to say it's going to be significantly higher than last year, when last year we saw John Lewis, which was such a big change.
But I think what you're getting a little as well is that There were some big moves and stuff, but there was still a bit of apprehension in the market, I think, last year, and a lot of places just still holding on.
Mm.
But you're still seeing what I've heard from people in this space is that it's a lot of those accounts that have been held on to during the pandemic and immediately afterwards, they're finally coming up. And also because you usually get like a 3 to 4 year time, don't you, on on an account, it's now just time. It's just like, it's time to go.
Time to pitch.
So it's a mixture of potentially a scheduling, timing thing, as well as perhaps a return of some confidence.
Yeah, let's, I mean, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed, I hope so. I hope so for Adland.
Before we continue, here's a quick word from one of our sister titles.
We interrupt this podcast to deliver an important message for media people from media people. We are the Media Week podcast. Four faces in the weeds of the media world come together to provide you with a digestible summary of industry updates and media bents. Each episode, Jack from Craft, Buki from Wavemaker, Charlie from Show Heroes, and me, Harriet from Publicis, chat all things from social, out of home, programmatic, and more. Tune in to wherever you get your podcasts to hear what's hot, what's not, and our opinions on navigating the industry.
Well, to finish this episode, another big story that caught all of our attention this week was the news of Sheffield City Council banning its fossil fuel ads, amongst other things. Imogen, can you tell us more?
Yeah, so their owned billboards across the city will no longer advertise high carbon industries, but also banning advertising on the likes of unhealthy foods, gambling, alcoholic drinks, including ads for 0% alcohol, which we were surprised about. But it sounds like, yeah, that still falls under the same ballpark.
Still alcohol.
Technically. I was like, but that's the good one.
It's surprising that it's before we started recording we were talking about that. So, I mean, because people, you know, it's trying to promote a healthier lifestyle. But I'm sure there's some regulation issues.
Yeah, it's, well, from having worked in a local tiny supermarket, which I will not name. No, you still can't sell 0% alcohol to people under 18. So it still falls into the same bracket.
The policy will come into force next week. I thought it was quite interesting from it all. And I spoke to Ad Free Cities throughout it, and they're quite... they're basically calling for a nationwide ban on fossil fuel ads. And what was interesting is they'd done a report which found 56% of outdoor advertising appeared in the three most deprived areas, compared with 8% in the three least deprived, which kind of proves that advertising and inequality are intrinsically linked. So I talked to Veronique Wignall. She's co-director of Ad Free Cities. And she was saying how, you know, there's been a number of other city councils, Cambridgeshire, Coventry, Basingstoke and Dean. They've all had policies restricting advertising for fossil fuels. So there feels there's a bit of a groundswell of local action, which perhaps we might head towards a nationwide fossil fuel ban. But we don't know. The other interesting part was they consulted JC Deco and Clear Channel in the process, and they own 146 advertising boards across the city, and they cited an expected loss of costs of 14,000 to 21,000, which we were quite surprised.
That does seem rather low. When I began reading that sentence, I thought, oh yeah, this how much revenue is this going to affect?
So actually, it makes you think. I mean, we did speak about the fact that this might just be a singular Sheffield thing, and maybe in London it would be a far higher, greater loss of revenue. But it almost feels a bit like there's a potential it might happen. I mean, we look back on like tobacco ads where they had babies smoking cigarettes, and it's like, oh, that once was normal. So it might be the case.
I don't think I'd be overly surprised if it went nationwide.
Yeah. It's happened in other countries, and I can't think of any to name, but I think it was Holland.
Yeah, and I mean, it's interesting because when I first saw this story on first glance, I thought it was going to be more about the actual sustainability of the billboards themselves and that technology. Because interestingly, there's a lot of innovation happening in that area. It's something that I know the outdoor owners are very conscious of, but also that something that media agencies are taking into account as part of their plans. There's a lot. So as much as, like having...
Far enough?
Yeah, having an LED board outside and on at all hours, obviously, consuming quite a bit of electricity. But
you could almost argue that's worse
than
advertising fossil fuel ads.
Potentially. But there's a lot of space and a lot of scope for innovation. And yeah, maybe it's not there yet, like you said, you know, is it going far enough? But it's still something that I know the industry is aware of and conscious of and attempting to do. So like there's a lot that they could do in terms of like digital ones. They have designated down hours at certain times of day.
It's a shame it's not sunny here, because if it was sunny, we could have solar panels. You could have little windmills on the top.
I mean, I think you could still do that.
Solar panels do pretty well, but I mean, we were only talking this morning that UK is apparently the eighth cloudiest city.
Yeah, maybe not good for sunshine. But there's, but also with like the non-digital ones, so you can have recycled paper, you can have like CO2 eating paint, and all of this really cool stuff. And I think there's, from a few people I've spoken with, there's an appetite for that from brands, from the more eco-conscious brands that are really, that really do have to be leading the charge on this, and that they're pushing for that. So it is perhaps going to have to be, if it's not already in a media buying plan, it might have to be
I think it will lead to greater campaigns as well, because I feel like this whole fling and see if anything sticks attitude to just throwing a thing out on a media plan isn't necessarily the best way to do it. And if you're really conscious of the most, you know, environmental sustainable way of doing it, it makes you much more precise and really think about where you're putting your ads. So I'd like to see more of that.
It'd be really interesting to see as well if a ban like this or an enforcement of more streamlined and sustainable actual media placements would what would have a bigger effect. Because I'm, you know, the better, if the ads are more sustainable, it might actually be better in the long run anyway.
Yeah, there was also a really interesting campaign from, it was, I don't, maybe you'll know the creative agency on Imogen, but it was Good Stuff and OVO. And but
Saatchi's, I think.
Yeah, and they'd done in
well done. In the fountain of knowledge.
They had on the billboards, but they showed the ads only when the grid was producing from green energy, which is a really good awareness raising at the same time as
super smart
brand.
And again, media and creativity coming together.
Yeah. Love it. Love to see it. Love to see it.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, I think that's a wonderful end to this episode. Yeah. You know, the theme of media and creative coming together. But thank you, Imogen, and thank you, Bo, for joining me today. If you'd like to learn more about what we discussed in this week's podcast, please visit campaignlive.co.uk. Details of our subscriptions are available at campaignlive.co.uk/membership. If you've enjoyed this episode of the Campaign Podcast, please follow us, like us, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And a huge thank you, as always, to Haymarket's producer, Till Owen. And thank you, too, for listening. We hope you will join us next time. So on behalf of the Campaign team, goodbye.